your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord God, because there is none like you and there is none but you. And so we give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for yesterday's blessings and for today's blessings and for tomorrow's blessings. Holy God, speak a word now for us, your children, and send your Holy Spirit upon us again. Come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come and revive us for the work and the journey ahead. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. My sermon title today is Hungry for the Real Bread. You know, we're hungry for many things in this world. We are hungry because the world tells us we are hungry. And this is not just the first time. People have been hungry for a long time. Author Rabbi Zacharias writes in this little reflection called Filling the Hungry for Significance. He says, 2 years ago, a woman in my audience wrote to invite me to visit her, if I could. A few weeks ago, I was in her home city, along with my teammate and my wife. The woman was suffering from AIDS, and by that time was dying. She had come here 2 years ago knowing she had AIDS. She hungered for something more than she had found in life. She had found Christ and came here for the deeper teaching and enrichment. When we walked into her apartment, she was absolutely surprised. I'll never forget her expression, he said. Her mom and dad stood next to her with a friend. She looked like a bag of just bones, a pathetic sight. She muttered words of gratitude that we had come. We spoke with her and prayed with her. When I turned to leave, I noticed a book on her table, The Hunger for Significance by R.C. Sproul. In her loneliest moment, her greatest hunger was being filled. Her hunger for significance. That's what our faith in Christ can do. People are able to endure life's unavoidable passages. Today she is with the Lord. The Hunger for Significance, this book, this article by Sproul, explores the human cry for dignity, significance, love, and respect. Sproul writes, "The rigorous pursuit of our day is the search for dignity and personal worth. The search for dignity is a titanic struggle, an epic adventure prodded by pain that will not go away." Hunger at the very end of her life. This woman was seeking something that doctors and hospitals and whatever else and material goods could not get. And at the very moment of death, she would be seeking Christ, that hunger that is in most of us. There's a hunger in all of us to seek something. What we feed it with is our decision. But we are created with this need and this desire and this hunger. It brings to mind this song, Fill My Cup. Lord, you all know that little song, right? Fill my cup. We only sing the refrain here in our hymnal. But the first verse says, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that shall never run dry.
Amen.
And then the refrain says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. my cup, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, oh, fill it up, and make me whole. What do you need this morning? What do I need? Second verse says, there are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. Yes, he can and he will. Fill it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench all this thirsting in my soul. Have you ever been so thirsty? All the pretty dress and the jewelry and the travel and everything else, nothing can feed you. Have you ever been so lonely? Fill my cup, Lord. Oh, I lift it up, Lord. Have you ever lifted up your cup to him? That cup that is empty and so dry because we have tried everything else. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench this thirst in my soul. I've been there. Oh, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Oh, fill my cup. Yes, Lord, fill it up and make me whole. And so, my brothers and sisters, if things this world would give you have given you, leave hungers that won't pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him humbly and pray. Yes, he will fill your cup. He'll fill it up. Oh, come and quench this thirst in our soul, Lord God. Oh, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Fill our cup. Fill it up and make us whole. You're the right place to get your cup filled because you're at the foot of Jesus. Amen. Not because I'm here. Not because anything I'm doing is all that good. All that grand. Not because I can preach like Jesus or exegete like Paul or sing like whomever. It's because Jesus is here among us. And so my brothers and sisters, when we read in the Gospel of John, we read again, we're reminded, the writer of John says, so when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. The question should be asked, what were they looking for Jesus for? Why were they searching for Jesus? What did they want? The question. If you remember from the beginning of the text, John chapter 6 starts with the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember? They had been physically hungry, right? They had come in for the Passover and they were physically hungry. And there was nothing to feed them. Do you remember? They had a physical need. John chapter 6, the Gospel of John. They were hungry. They needed food. And Jesus told Philip and the guys, the rest of the disciples, to go get food for them. And they said, we don't have any money to go get food to feed all these people. But Jesus knew that they had what? A physical need. And he was going to take care of the physical need first. Brothers and sisters, he does that. You know, because sometimes hungry people can't hear about Jesus. Sometimes when you're so hungry, you got terrible cramps and hunger pains, you can't concentrate. So sometimes Jesus in the body feeds the physical need and then he goes to the spiritual need. Do you understand? Many of us are filled physically. We have had breakfast this morning. But oh, I tell you, there are those of us who, even though we're filled and we look like we're filled and all of that, we have this hunger inside of us that no bread can fill. There is no food, no steak, no shrimp, no lobster. You see the foods I like. None of it, you could see, I'm just running down the list, can fill it. There is something that is deep and that we can't get but from our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us that he what? He got the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he blessed it and he fed over 5,000. He fed their physical need. He prayed unto the Lord and he fed them. It was more than 5,000. There were just 5,000 men. And then there were the women and the children. So he fed them. And then the Bible continues, chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is coming to the world." And when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So what happened was they were already fed. They thought that was it. Their physical need was met, and they was ready to make him king. Sometimes we give up on Jesus too quickly. We go to Jesus to pray for something, and we pray one time. And if it don't happen one time, we don't bother anymore. Or we pray 2 times. Or we decide to come to Bible study, and we come, and we get a little thing, and we don't get any. We says, I don't need anymore. We don't push through. Scripture tells us the race is not for the swift or the battle for the strong, but it's for those who can endure till the end. Endurance that Christ will endure. So they were ready. They were so happy that they were filled that they forget their spiritual needs. Because there were spiritual needs in that crowd. There's always spiritual needs in all of us. A desire to seek God. A desire to seek something greater than ourselves. Whether we want to call it God or not. We are going to replace our need for God with something. No matter what we say, we are created that way to desire something outside of ourselves, inside of ourselves, greater than ourselves. It's just how we are made up. We are wired that way. The Bible tells us that when they catch up with him, they called out, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" They just wanted to get to him. And Jesus answered them, "Verily, truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves." Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Jesus is now going to tell them, give them a little peace. He says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs that you can believe, but because you ate your fill of loaves." He said, because you're full now, and I've done this, you're looking for me. He says, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Now here it is, Jesus is standing there, and he's telling them, "You're only looking for me because I fed you physical food. You're looking for me because you've eaten. You want to see what else I'm going to do." But he says, don't just look for me because of food. God has done a greater thing, so to speak. And then they said to him, ask him the question, "What should we do to get this thing? How can we work to get this thing? How can we work?" That's the news this morning, church. We don't have to work to get salvation. Praise God. We work because we have received salvation. You understand? They're asking, they're Jews. They come out of the Jewish law. Remember, you can't blame them. Now they come out of Jewish law and they're thinking of deeds. Right? Deeds and then salvation. You know, there's some theology that still does that. Right? Deeds, you got to work yourself into heaven. My brothers and sisters, we can't work ourselves into heaven. We would keel over and die before we get to heaven. Right? We can't work ourselves. They were asking, what do we have to do, you know, to get this food? What do we have to do to get this thing that you're saying? How much work should we do? Now, we want people to work in the church. I want you to work because we need to work. God has called us to work. Too much is given, much is required. But we're not working for our salvation. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's no pattern of work to get salvation. And if there is, I don't know it, and it's not in that Bible that I'm reading. Could be in another book, but not in the one that we're reading. And so Jesus wanted to tell them that you can't work. And then they started to argue with Jesus a little bit. They said, well, we had Moses, remember the Jews, and Moses gave us manna, right? Moses, and he says, you only feed us 5,000. You just fed us 5,000, they said to him. You only fed 5,000 of us. Like, Jesus, what's your problem? You only fed 5,000. Moses fed us manna for 40 years. But they said it. Do you believe they said that? I read that last night. I thought, there were some bold folks, right? Yes, that line, they said, you know, Moses fed us manna for 40 years. And Jesus, so calm, he was much calmer than me. Right? Much calmer. He said to them, you know, listen, you think Moses gave you food for 40 years? God sent manna from heaven. Moses was just a servant. God is the one who sent the manna and gave it to you. Had nothing to do with Moses, because Moses is now dead, right? Been dead. So it's not Moses that gave you manna. God gave you. Got it all messed up. It's not your works that gave you the manna. God sent it. But he says, look at me. God has sent the bread that's going to last forever. The bread that's going to last forever.
Amen.
Right? And they were wondering. I would have been wondering too. Because John's gospel speaks of all the I ams. Do you know that? I am the bread of life. I am the gate. You know, you know that it's all in John, the I ams, right? It's big, and there's no other gospel that have the I ams but John. So you're going to see more of them. I don't know what the lecture is doing. But anyhow, this I am today. So they're saying, so they got smart. They're wondering. Jesus is talking. And Jesus says, listen, God sent it. And oh, God has sent the real bread, so to speak. The thing that is going to give you eternal life. And they says, how can we get this? As I paraphrase, how can we get this? Church, people are asking outside these doors, how can we get this? I know we're having difficulty in churches. Not here, I don't mean personal churches. I mean how we grow a church, how we don't grow a church. What do? Because everybody wants us to find a new way out to spread the gospel. We got to project the gospel. We got to light up the gospel. We got to put a firecracker under the gospel. We got to blow it up. We got to do all, you know what I'm saying. People say young people don't want the gospel the way we're giving the gospel. We got to get excitement. We got to get dancers jumping off the stage and jump. We got to get off, you know what I'm saying. It's got to be a Broadway production, the gospel. We live in a world who expects that from us. It is hard to grow churches now, mainline churches. I'm not asking for you all to be sorry for me. I'm just stating a fact. Because everything you read tells you what you have to do. You need to have a clown and a couple of things on a Sunday morning, a couple of dances. And if you don't have that, people are not going to hear the gospel. But Jesus is saying, this is it. I am it. And all the things we're talking about doing in the churches is just to find new and interesting way to give the same old story, the same real story, that Jesus died for us, rose from the dead, sits on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us, and so that you and me have the hope of eternal life, that he died and rose from the dead, and sit victorious. And because of that, if you believe in him, you have the hope of eternal life. That is the simple story we are trying to tell the world. We're trying to find many ways to tell the world that. But that's it. So Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. He's telling them. If you believe in me, the one that the Father has sent, if you believe in me, do you believe this morning, church? If you believe in me, he's saying, you'll have eternal life. You don't need to work for it. You don't need to look for manna in the wilderness. Just believe that I am Lord and Savior. Just believe that I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I can fill your cup if you're running dry. I can fill it and make it overflow. I can make you feel better about yourself and your circumstance. I can do that, Jesus says. He's telling them, and they're standing there, and they're looking, and he says, because what? For I am the bread of life. Oh, come on now. That's an amen.
Amen.
Come on now. I am the bread of life.
Amen.
Amen. Eat me. Eat Philip. Philip with me, because I am full of sustenance. I am full of what you need. If you're sick, I am the doctor in the sick room at the hospital. If you need a lawyer, if you're in the courts, I'm the lawyer in the courtroom.
Amen.
That's a little black song they used to sing in the church. I'm the lawyer in the courtroom. Huh? I'm the doctor in the hospital. I'm whatever you need. I will be there for you. I will not leave you. I promise I am the bread of life. I am the real bread. Because you see, the children of Israel, those folks there in the Gospel of John that John spoke about, when they finished eating the bread and the fish, they were filled, and later on they got hungry again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the temporary bread of the world does. You know, I wanted a new car. I needed a new car. I had a car for 15 years. I love my car. I call it my Jaguar. It really was. It was my Toyota Camry. But I call it a Jaguar. I love that car. I just love it. Zamzam used to say, what are we going to? I said, we're going to get the Jaguar. The first time I said that, she looked at it and I said, it is a Jaguar. It may not say it, but it's mine. And for 15 years, that car from Connecticut to New York, people would tell me, you got to change it. It looked lovely. Nothing was wrong with it. I said, I've got to get to 100,000 miles. I've never had a car for 100,000 miles. You know, and I'm driving it and I like it and I service it every 6 months. Even though it was 15 years old, I took it to this every 6 months. They knew I was coming. Checked the oil and so on. And they says, you could trade it in. I say, I love my car. But then I would be going up to White Plains a lot and from here. And sometimes I'd be hitting 495 and I'm like at 75. You know, you get a little bit fast. I don't mean to, but you know what I'm saying. You're trying to get there, look down. And sometimes I could hear it hesitating. And so I said, you know what, I should probably get a new car now, and I'm justifying it. I deserve to get a new car. And so I went and I got the new car. Stopped at Toyota one day, got a nice new car, upgraded my car, everything was so fancy, the new car. I don't even know what's going on in there. People talking to me when I don't even want to. I'm driving the car, I hear a voice saying, I says, who are you? Was a voice in my car. I had done some and I went to that church and I don't know what I touched and then I heard a lady says, do you need help? I says, who are you? There was a voice coming out of the top of my car, the roof, asking me if I need help. I guess there's some program that is in there. If I touch a button, they think I need 911. So I kept saying, I said, what are you talking? I thought I was losing my mind. Right? I says, who are you? She says, oh, we are the emergency. I said, did I call you? She says, you hit a button. So I'm telling you, the car has things in it that I do not need or know, right? And they says, you could speak and you could touch this. Do you know the GPS? I'm still going to map, look where I'm going. And it has so many things. Young people, I'll be giving up that car and I won't know what is in there. So it was so exciting, that car. And I got excited. Now 4 weeks into it, guess what? Whatever need it was filling, no big deal. It's just like a car the other day. I'm backing out. I had to remember, don't back out so fast. You're gonna crash it. When I first got it, I was like, taking my time, trying to back out. Don't do this. Don't scratch it. Now I'm just zipping out zamzam. You can't believe. Because that need has been filled. Right? The desire, it's filling the need. I got the car. I know it's sturdy. I could go in it. And I've moved on. Am I damaging it? No, because that's the last minute of 15 years. Because I told the guy I'm not buying another car, unless I win the lotto. But anyway, the point is, it filled that need. But the need that I have and my desire for Jesus Christ as I bring this to a close, only He can fill it. And I didn't have to stop at Toyota and spend all that money. It's freely given. Do you understand what I'm getting at? No payment. When they told me the down payment and the payment, I said, oh my God, you wonder why I want to keep my car that I paid for, and I own my car. Now I have a car payment. I owned my car for 15 years. No payment. He paid the price for you and me. No payment. We call on Him when we need Him, and He'll fill our cup. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. Yes, He will. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Oh, glory to God. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. He'll feed you and He'll feed me. Fill my cup. Oh, fill it up and make me whole. He'll make you whole this morning.
And if you're whole, you already accept him, he'll keep filling it and sustaining you so you could keep living and going through all of life's trials and ups and downs. That's him. His name is Jesus Christ, Savior of all the world. And so Paul reminds the church that he is the one. He is the one by his grace, he told the church at Ephesus. He is the one. There is unity in Christ. And by his grace extends to all of us. The grace he's given is not just to me. That grace is extended to you and to you and to these young people. You don't quite know it yet, but the God's grace has extended to you forever and ever. When you get to be my age, it will still be there in abundance. Huh? That's our Savior. Send it to all of us. Just have to say yes to him. And he'll fill it and he'll keep filling it. Has he ever kept filling it and filling it and filling it? He's never empty. It never runs dry. He said to the woman at the well, I'll give you water that you'll never run dry. Come on now, church. That's the Savior we serve. He gives us water that will never run dry.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name this morning. Will you give him an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now, God's people, let us break bread together.
Will you stand on your feet? And let's sing, let us break bread together.